Yes, say hi, hello, and welcome inside a Wednesday. I keep saying it's a Thursday. It is a Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome in. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. We have a lot to get to today, the day before madness. Hope you have your details set as far as where you are watching the games, how you're going to get work done in the process, because I would imagine employers don't exactly love Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament, because I think a study was done, maybe an unofficial one, but it would certainly lead me to believe it's accurate, that Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament are the two most unproductive days of the work calendar. Due to the fact that, you know, most sports don't exactly fall in the middle of the workday because you're trying to get the most viewership. But because of the sheer number of games, Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament are unlike any other sporting event because you have really marquee games happening. You know, the only comparison would kind of be like, it's not even close, is bowl games in college football that, you know, during the month of December, they're happening at very awkward times because there's so many of them and maybe even three in a day on the same network. So you got to get the ample amount of TV coverage, but nothing touches March Madness like this. And everybody, even those that do not care about the sport, are involved in bracket challenges. So, look, I'll honestly tell you this, and I had a moment today which shows you maybe just how much basketball I've watched this year, college basketball I've watched. But, you know, from a periphery, I do pay attention to a lot of the things happening. When it relates to college basketball. You know, we're so locked in on what's happening here on the home front with Ball State that oftentimes I don't have time to watch each and every game. Well, today, and we're not going to spend a ton of time on this, but Tom Izzo, the head coach of Michigan State, I hope this story's correct because it just was very disingenuous. It was very out of touch to say what he said, and what he said was the NCAA needs to take a look at the automatic bid for mid-major conference champions. So as you know, in every conference in Division I, the automatic conference champion in their tournament gets into the NCAA tournament. Tom Izzo saying that the NCAA should take a look at whether they should still do that or not, which is insane. So what I said today on Twitter, and some of you may have seen it, is it's amazing that a 19-14 Michigan State team that got into the tournament seemed like a bubble team, although the net would suggest otherwise. They were a net 25 team in the NCAA, yet they had 14 losses, which I think is the most losses of any school in the NCAA tournament this year. You can't tell me there's a little bit of favoritism there. Anyway, I like Tom Izzo. I like watching his teams. I think he's great, and it's great to see the great coaches in college basketball as they've retired move on. Tom Izzo still remains. So this is not a against Tom Izzo deal. I don't get his stance on how in the world you could feel like, oh, you know what? Hey, the Power Fives are already powerful, but let's make them more powerful. Why not? Yeah, you need to take a look at those conference champions by getting into the NCAA tournament. To be honest with you, the whole intrigue of Thursday and Friday, if you want to know the truth, is if it was all chalk, so if there are no upsets happening tomorrow and Friday, that would be seen as non-entertaining. It would not. People tune in to see the little guy upset the big guy. How many times have you been in a facility and you're watching two of the three games or maybe have one on and then somebody says, oh my gosh, 5 minutes to play, the 15 seed's over the two, we got to watch the finish of this. How many times have you said, oh my gosh, Duke is up by 20 as a two seed, we got to watch the finish. No, you're probably going to move to the next game. So if, as we know, in college athletics, in the NCAA tournament, a lot of times decisions are made because of TV revenue. What builds TV revenue? Upsets. So actually, the conference champions, it really doesn't even matter if they make it past the round of 32. Although the George Mason story was interesting. VCU, Butler, we know all the names that have happened over the years. But the fact of the matter is, the intrigue of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament all surrounds the seeds from 10 and beyond. If you're a double-digit seed, America loves you. That is why March Madness is what March Madness is. Now, where I got it wrong today, and I will openly admit this, I've said it from the start, we will celebrate when we're right, but we will admit when we're wrong. That is the argument that I made, that I always thought that Indiana State should have gotten in over Michigan State, and I sent out an ill-informed tweet. I kept it up because I wanted to show that I made a mistake. It's okay to make a mistake. You know, it's very easy on social media. When you make a mistake, you say, well, what I meant was, I didn't do that today. Not to tell you that I'm better than anybody else, but I did not know that Michigan State beat Indiana State head-to-head. So that definitely played a factor at the end of the day. But I think we can all agree, man, oh man, did the committee look bad last night with Virginia. Woof. Goodness gracious. I mean, that is some bad basketball. And they got beaten by a Colorado State team by double figures, and Virginia scored a grand total of 14 points in the first half. I think I saw this, and I want to make sure that this is confirmed, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I believe Virginia is the lowest rated team in the net ever to make the NCAA tournament. Which I think makes it even more egregious that they are in the big dance. It's insane. I mean, it is absolutely ridiculous, to be honest with you. So, again, I made a mistake today. I was called on it. I admitted to the mistake, and I should have never brought Indiana State in the conversation of what Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo said today. What I should have said was the headline should have been, Michigan State coach bubble team argues why Power 5 should be even more powerful for a system that benefits them anyway. It's what I should have said. So there you go. It's out to the public, and we all get to hear that now. So I was wrong. I was flat out wrong. I did not know Michigan State beat Indiana State head-to-head this season. So again, if you're looking for advice from me for your bracket, don't, because I'm not going to be able to help you. I'm trying to figure out who my national champion is, because every time with this particular bracket, for some reason, it doesn't look right. Like, do you ever have one of those brackets where you get to the end and you're like, how in the world did I get that Final Four? Like, I'm trying to be, I guess, balanced to have enough upsets, to have enough chalk, to have enough of, okay, can they really get to a Final Four? And I question myself on that three or four times during this process, and yet at the end of the day, I still don't like my bracket. I don't like my bracket, which is, isn't that weird thing to say? And I hear this from a lot of people. Man, I really don't like my bracket, and no games have even been played yet. How can you not like your bracket when you selected it? That's what I'm trying to figure out in my own head. It's confusing to say the least. Like, these are my problems this week with college basketball. I don't like my bracket. Yeah. I got real issues, man. I got real issues if I can't, like, sleep at night because I don't like my bracket. That's kind of how I feel this week. Because you know what? Let me tell you something. And coaches probably understand this as well. Analysts probably understand this as well. So oftentimes when we get to the NFL playoffs or the Super Bowl or some of the bigger events going on, I will get calls from friends. Friends that don't watch a lot of sports. I would actually get texts from some listeners that I've gotten to know over the years. And they are asking for my advice. And my first question always is this: why the heck are you asking me? I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like I have a good base of sports knowledge. I feel like we bring good content to this show, but I laugh at it. And you go to your knowledgeable sports guy to give you all of the insight about everything. I appreciate the opportunity to help you, but at the end of the day, I probably will have a worse bracket than all of you. Just saying. Like, I've got my rationale as to why I pick certain games and why I have X here. And you know what? It's kind of funny. In our office here at Wolf Boom Radio, it is always a running joke if I somehow have the second to worst bracket, because I'm the quote unquote sports guy. But it happens all the time where somebody says, "Oh my gosh, well Mark knows sports. Why don't we ask him about the Super Bowl?" I mean, it's funny. And you know, I got my friends, my close group of friends. You'll be surprised to learn this. None of them really watch sports. None of them really follow sports. The only real conversation we have about sports has to do with fantasy football, has to do with some golf-related topics because we golf all the time. Outside of that, they don't really necessarily care how the Colts, the Pacers, Ball State's doing, all those different things. They're just not active sports watching or listening people. So when it comes to these moments, that's where I guess I become the knowledge source for them, and then oftentimes I'm asking them their knowledge on other things because apparently I'm just the sports guy. No, I'm not doing a woe is me, but this is my life, folks. This is the life of a sports talk radio host. That is this week. But here's the good news. Tomorrow during this show, I think I told you this yesterday, Ball State Women's Basketball will be playing in the WBIT tournament. The game is at Worthen Arena coming up tomorrow, 4 o'clock tip, 3:40 pregame right here on this station, which is absolutely perfect for a lot of different reasons, okay? And I think I told a listener about this morning. There are a couple of days where I really worry about people that would listen to this show on Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament. Like, if you have the opportunity to listen to this show for the entire hour on the Thursday or Friday of the NCAA tournament, or when there is a local college, Ball State, that has a home game, and you would rather listen to me talk about sports-related items. Look, I think we put on a pretty good show. I think we bring a lot of good content to the table, but I can even look inside myself and say, you know what? Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament isn't exactly the time where people, you know, we're going to set high numbers. And I can understand that. I understand that. Because if you can, you're going to find a way to watch the first round games of the NCAA tournament tomorrow. It is like a holiday. It is exciting. And I get that. And I would advocate for that. And I'm going to have the opportunity to do that with you tomorrow. Watch that. Follow along with Ball State Women's Basketball. I'm fired up for that. So it is a, I guess, an appropriate day off for me tomorrow, if you really, really want to know the truth. So, anyway, I want to mention this before we get into some Colts-related topics. We recorded a conversation with George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. We'll play that for you coming up in the second segment of the program right here. Couple of Wapahani community members wanted me to shout this out today, so I will do that. Coming up tomorrow at Baskin-Robbins in Muncie, the team, the Wapahani boys basketball team, will be there signing autographs from 5:30 to 7 o'clock at the Baskin-Robbins in Muncie. Boy, I hope I have that right. Let me double-check that that's the case. But I had a couple of community members that sent this over to me yesterday, so I want to make sure to get this out for the community to be able to take advantage and see these young men and interact with them and have a great afternoon. Let me double check to make sure that I've got this correct. Well, if my Facebook wants to load up, I was sent this yesterday, and I believe it to be the case that it's the Baskin-Robbins in Muncie. I just remember this when I just saw a post from the Wapahani Raiders. Anyway, obviously we know the boys basketball team is headed to state. and you know, they're gonna have some fun along the way, no doubt about it. All right, yep, Baskin Robbins in Muncie tomorrow, 5:30 to 7:00. See, I had it all the way. The flyer says meet and hang with the players, get a free picture of the team, and get their autographs. Obviously, in anticipation of the boys basketball state final coming up next week in 2A. You could do that tomorrow between 5:30 and 7:00 at the Baskin Robbins in Muncie. What a great opportunity for those young men in that community to be a part of all of that. So something to look forward to and something for you to take advantage of tomorrow, and certainly thank them for what has been one incredible run, and it's going to continue at Gainbridge Fieldhouse coming up next week. Also, Isaac Andrews has a chance to be an Indiana Boys Basketball All-Star. We'll see how that plays out. There's certainly a campaign going on for it. I think 88 career wins and 2,100 points speaks for itself. But we shall see. We shall see how that all plays out. So we're going to talk with George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin, that conversation we did a little bit earlier. And George, obviously we talk Colts each and every week with him. It's a lot more than just Colts going on for him. He's covered the NCAA tournament for many, many years. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But this kind of hit me. So I want to offer, okay, a secondary opinion about the Indianapolis Colts. So we talked about the things last week, maybe what the Indianapolis Colts are not doing, right? What they're not doing. And, you know, honestly, I've been obviously very, very, very vocal about the things that they have not done. You know, they could have gotten out and gotten another wide receiver. They could have gotten another tight end. They could have bolstered up the playmaking spot, made a move for a cornerback, whatever the case may be. But if you look at all the adversity that this football team was a part of a year ago, you can count three main factors last year. I think number one is your rookie quarterback went out early in the season and you had to adjust, and you did pretty well adjusting last year. I got to be honest with you. He did a very good job. So the fact that he will be back and your supposed future, your supposed franchise player, there's an opportunity to get him in the fold and have him lead your football team from now into the future. Number two. People often forget, because remember this time last year we were speaking about the Jonathan Taylor situation, and it was the dominant topic across everything we talked about, the saga that was Jonathan Taylor and him getting a long-term contract, the Colts trading him, him asking for a trade, and all those different things. Well, he sat on the physically unable to perform list and the reserve list for the first 4 weeks of the season. Then he got the deal. Then he came back, and it took him a couple of 3 weeks to get him really integrated. There is zero question he is your best football player on the offensive side. Even Michael Pittman Jr. Michael Pittman Jr. is a really good player. Jonathan Taylor is your best pound-for-pound playmaker that you have. He did not play a full season. He was not full strength all year long. So that provides another bit of excitement there. The third part I would say is that the connection from running back to quarterback to head coach, those guys had about, a game to all be in the building at the same time, going in the right direction. So if you want a bit of a glass half full type of feel, there you are, because the Indianapolis Colts were never whole throughout the entirety of last year. I think that is very, very clear. They never were full strength last year, and yet they were a play away from possibly making the playoffs. So there is some light at the end of the tunnel, and I want to talk about that with George Bremer coming up next. We, again, recorded that conversation earlier today. But I don't want it to be all doom and gloom. I do not like the strategy of how they've navigated free agency. I will continue to be active about how I feel about that and why. Not just give you an honest hot take opinion, but to tell you exactly why. But there are some signs of why maybe you're running it back. why maybe it makes sense to bring everybody back in Chris Ballard's mind. I don't agree with the thought process. I feel like this is a time where you could really bring in some veterans to this team, but there's a case to be made that, hey, they didn't have everybody at full strength at the same time last year. So there you go. I want to be fair, and that's the other side of the argument right there. So thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Appreciate that. So we'll get to some of that. I want to talk a little bit of basketball at the end of the show today. Again, Ball State Women's Basketball will be on the air right here next year, right here tomorrow at 4 o'clock, the next show is what I meant to say. So anyway, that'll obviously be a massive game as they have Belmont coming up at Worthen Arena tomorrow. So, all right, when we come back, we'll play the conversation with George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin coming your way next. Power Talk on CWMUN. Welcome back inside the program. It's a Wednesday here on the Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, brought to you by Walls Furniture and Mattress. Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference. It's Nebo Road in Muncie. That's where you can find them, in wallsfurniture.com. Might be time to take inventory of your patio furniture. I know I've done the same. Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. As we welcome in George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin. Now, George, before we get to Colts-related topics, you and your good friend, broadcaster for Wolf Boom Radio, Zach Johnson, had the coverage of Liberty Christian up in Michigan City for the semi-state last weekend. And for those that don't know, the biggest stress that broadcasters or writers have in what is now the two-game semi-state is you play the morning game, your team wins. What the heck do you do for 6 hours? And you guys had a brilliant, brilliant idea. You guys went bowling. Now, I want confirmation. Did the bowling idea come from you or from Zach?
Neither of us, actually. My wife was up there with 3 fifth graders, so it was a fifth grader's decision. So we were bowling with fifth graders in between games. I'll tell you, the great thing about that is, and the great thing about the high school tournament, this is a day those kids are never going to forget.
Right.
We went up there, saw two really, really good basketball games. We went to eat at a restaurant called Royale with Cheese, which was an interesting place, local place up there. So, and then we got to go to an outlet mall with the 3 fifth grade highlight, and then bowling and an arcade. So, yeah, I mean, I think years from now they're going to talk about that Saturday we spent in Michigan City.
I need I need your wife as my planner for those days in between, because this is the fourth time I've had two games in one day, and that in between 6-7 hours. Now, the good news was this was the first time I had a noon game to figure out what to do. In the, I mean, 2 hours makes a pretty big difference, but I was following the social media feed of one George Bremer and Zach Johnson. I'm sitting there and I'm like, you guys got this figured out.
We had an adventure. There's no question about it. But, you know, you hope these are all kids that are coming up through the program themselves, and hopefully they caught some of that bug, and they're going to be causing some Hoosier hysteria themselves down the road.
Yeah, no question. No question about it. So you covered some high school. Of course, when the NCAA tournament hits, I feel like no matter what type of sports reporter you are, in some form or fashion, you're covering the NCAA tournament. So what exactly is your involvement going to be, coverage? What can people expect with the Herald Bulletin with the NCAA tournament happening this week?
Yeah, we got a ton going on this week. I'm going to be helping out on Purdue coverage and also doing a little bit on the other 7 teams that are here in Indy. We're going to have coverage of the IU women who are hosting, the Notre Dame women who are hosting. It should be a really fun March, you know, following along all that. And, of course, the Ball State women at 4 o'clock today in the midst of, you know, their huge game in the inaugural WBIT. So lots of fun stuff going on the basketball side of things.
How far does Purdue get in the NCAA tournament this year? Your thoughts?
their draw is really good. And I feel like if they didn't have their history, I would feel like they're the most comfortable of the number one seed, just looking at what they've got. But, you know, they've got so much baggage that they're carrying with them, obviously, not just last year. I mean, last year's huge, only the second one seed to lose in the first round. But, what, the last three times they've been out, they've lost to double-digit seeds. Two of those three times were first-round games. One of those was in Indy in 2021. So it seems really hard. If they don't at least make it to the Elite Eight, I think it's going to feel like a really extremely disappointing season.
I love the way you just said that. Purdue has a lot of baggage, and baggage can be described in a lot of different ways, but, man, I think that is such an apt description about Purdue is some would describe it as demons. I think baggage is a much more appropriate term, and, you know, I think when you think of the baggage that they have to carry, they're reminded of it because this group is largely the same group that went through what they went through last year. Now, do they draw on a team like Virginia that in 2018 got upset by a 16 seed? The very next year they win a national championship. Like, I don't know how you mentally get over that hurdle, and they have the opportunity to do that coming up this week.
There's no question. And I know, you know, Matt Painter's been in touch with Tony Bennett. They've discussed, you know, what happened between those years. I'm sure Purdue has talked about that. But you're right. You know, this crew has had to deal with that for a full calendar year now. That's probably, not probably, it's definitely going to be the most, more eyeballs on that 1-16 game than any of the other three this year.
Yeah, no question about it. It's George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin, amongst other things. He covers just not just football, but a lot of other topics around this time of the year. So we are a week and a half into free agency, and I would say the reactions are pretty lukewarm. I think you got where my feelings were a week ago when we were talking about what has occurred so far in the offseason. You had said back on Friday, this is kind of what you expected. Is there anything that you feel like the Colts haven't done that they should have done or should still do?
They've got to beef up that secondary. I mean, I thought they would re-sign their own first and then start looking, you know, into that defensive secondary. I always felt like from the way Ballard was talking, they were more concerned with safety than they were with corner. So to me, the most shocking thing right now is that Julian Blackman is still on the market, is being allowed to go and, you know, visit other teams. Is at this point, you would have to assume more likely to leave than to stay, because if it gets to the point that he's taking other visits, that he's obviously not happy with what he's hearing from the Colts, or he wouldn't be doing that. That part to me is interesting because they've talked about safety a lot. They need help there. They also, you know, need some help at corner. Right now, the only move in the defensive secondary is the possible loss of Julian Blackman.
Yeah, I just wonder, you know, from the guys that this that have been brought back, I think that there's still mountains to climb for Michael Pittman Jr. I think there's a couple other guys. I mean, Grover Stewart is an absolute must in the middle, so it's by no means saying they didn't get quality players by bringing them back. And as you said last week, people are asking who their addition is at wide receiver, and you said, don't forget, they just signed Michael Pittman Jr. to a long-term deal. So that's an addition in years. My question would be, how much better is this group if the running back mentality is the thought process? How much better can they get with what they have and what they've done in free agency? Your thoughts?
That's what they're banking on, and that's the risk here. You know, everything you do is risky in one way or another. And the risk here is you're saying, we're going to go back in there. We're going to bank on the idea that Michael Pittman Jr. is going to be even hungrier to prove himself now because he got paid, but it's a three-year deal, and he's got a chance to get paid again. And he even mentioned it, you know, when we talked to him last week, that the opportunity to come back and do this again in 3 years is really going to fuel him. And I think all these guys kind of feel that way. Like, you know, know, Kenny Moore feels like he needs to get back to the Pro Bowl. Grover Stewart's never been to the Pro Bowl. Zaire Franklin's never been to the Pro Bowl. You know, all these guys have something to prove, and they're kind of banking on them improving while they're kind of bringing up these younger guys. But there's risk inherent in that, and the biggest one, obviously, is Anthony Richardson. The biggest jump this team can make is if Anthony Richardson's healthy and playing at the level that we saw flashes of last year. If he can go out there and be, say, a top 15 level quarterback, and you combine him with Jonathan Taylor, and you've got a healthy and motivated Michael Pittman, the offense is going to improve a lot right there. Defensively, you need a healthy Juju Brent. You need Jalen Jones to take that second year jump. It's a lot of ifs right now. There's a path here for them to be a much better team than they were last year, but if those things don't happen, there's a path that's wide open to criticism.
It's George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin as we talk Colts among other topics here on the Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. This conversation recorded earlier today. I have a curiosity. I don't know if this has been asked, because this time last year, Shane Steichen had never coached a game in the NFL as a head coach. How much say is he having in this process with Chris Ballard? Because I feel like every move that is or isn't made is attributed to Ballard. Is that accurate, or is Shane Steichen lobbying for, hey, you want to bring this guy in because of X, Y, and Z?
I think his voice is definitely heard. I know Ballard has a lot of respect for him. He talked about that at the Combine, how much belief he has in this team because of this coaching staff. And I think Shane's a guy that tends to be a little bit outspoken, I guess. He's not going to be a guy who sits in the corner and just sort of lets things happen in front of him. He's going to definitely make his voice heard, and that's something that Ballard's always wanted. He wants the coaches to be, like you said before, he doesn't really want to be surrounded by yes men. You know, he wants to be challenged. He wants to hear from them. But I will say this, the one thing we heard loud and clear from Shane Steichen this offseason is he wants continuity. So you would think along those lines, he's on board with these re-signings.
Yeah, he seems like a guy that is very much about the group he has. And so, so maybe that shouldn't shock anybody as far as that's concerned. But where would you rank the philosophy for Chris Ballard as far as bringing a lot? Because this is following the mold that he's done before. If you were him, would you try something new? And is that maybe to the root of why Colts fans are sitting there saying that's it?
It absolutely is, and I understand that completely. Like, that point of view is very solid. You've been here 7 years. They've gone to the playoffs twice. They've won one playoff game. You don't want those results. Nobody wants that to be, you know, the next 7 years. So, you know, I understand 100% the idea of, well, why aren't they changing things up more? I think their argument on the Colts side is that the plan's always been to draft and develop their own. They finally are at a point where they had strung together some drafts and got some guys that really hit, that they were able to sign a lot of their own guys this year because it made sense to do that. They haven't really been able to do that with as many guys as they have this year in the past because they had missed on some of the draft picks. So I think they feel like they've gotten better in that regard. That's one thing that's different. But the biggest difference, I think, has been the quarterback. When you look at those two playoff years, you had Andrew Luck and you had Phillip Rivers. It's the two times you unequivocally had above average play from that position. And so again, I hate to keep putting so much on a second-year kid. You don't want to put the pressure on Anthony Richardson. And I think part of the downside to this approach is that it does naturally put more focus on him. But if he can go out there and he can play to his potential, that's where things change this year. If he's middle of the road or, you know, slightly below average, they're probably going to struggle again. That's what we've seen every year under Ballard. When they have a quarterback who plays above the league average, they're in contention, they're going to the playoffs, they're winning football games. When they have a quarterback who's right there in the middle or a little below, they fall just short, or, you know, 2022 is its own catastrophe that shall never be spoken of again.
that's right. On that side, and we can explore this a little bit, the argument that's out there, and I tend to subscribe to this, is you bring in a rookie quarterback, and it was said last year that, hey, and Chris Ballard said it, we are out of the contract deals with veteran quarterbacks. contracts that ate up $60, $70 million. Now you have a quarterback on his rookie deal. So if you were to take risks, if you were to try to go get veterans, now would be the time. And maybe that is the root of frustration as well, that, you know, you've basically got the window is next year. After next year, if Anthony Richardson is successful, which is the hope, you're looking to extend him then. So you really got a year and a half, 2 year window to add veteran pieces. So why isn't it going along that mold, I guess?
Yeah, well, part of it's because they spent $200 million on their own guys. So some of it is just the money. You know, there isn't as much money there as there was. They've got we can't get a total exact figure yet because a lot of these deals haven't been filed yet with the league. That the numbers aren't in. But the best guess is somewhere around $23 million right now. $9 million of that's going to be earmarked for the draft and, you know, post-draft signings. So you're probably in the $14 million range right now, which takes you out of range for somebody like, say, LeJarius Sneed. But you still could make an impact signing with that money or two. I think with Ballard, you're always going to have, better or worse, a measured approach. I don't think free agency is ever going to be something that he dives into headlong. He said from the day he got here, he wants to draft guys, he wants to develop them, he wants to sign his own guys. And then when something comes along like a DeForest Buckner, I think those are going to be rare. When he sees something like that where he really feels like he wants to take a swing and give a guy a big contract, give up draft capital, it's going to happen. But I think it's always going to be a rare thing. I think moving forward, if he, you know, is able to get this moving in the right direction and the roster starts going the way they want it to and the results follow, I think you're going to see the same philosophy, whether the quarterback's on a big deal or not. You know, they're going to take care of their own, and those outside additions are going to be really calculated and, you know, really measured.
The NFL draft is just a little bit more than a month away, and clearly the daily discussion about the draft is not even close to what it was this time last year, for obvious reasons, because you were in the market for a quarterback at that time. That being said, it's been described as a very, very deep wide receiver draft, and you know that Colts fans love to talk about wide receivers, George. Are we looking at the number two, number three wide receiver coming from this year's draft? Is that kind of where we're headed?
Maybe four or five. I mean, it's a very deep draft, and some of those guys are expected to go really quick. I mean, obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. probably off the board quickly. I think Malik Nabers is closing in on him. If you listen to the buzz, you know, there's a lot of teams that have them pretty close, the LSU receiver. So he should be going in the top 10. And then the other ones, Rome Odunze from Washington. Those three probably off the board before Andy picks at 15. And then, you know, you're looking at Brian Thomas Jr. You're looking at Xavier Worthy, I think is a name to keep an eye on. And then Shane Steichen's at his pro day today. Donnie Mitchell, the teammate of Xavier Worthy. So I think it'll be interesting to see, you know, where they rank that. This is a very deep receiver group. Something they can do at 15. It's something they can trade back and do in the 20s. Something they can do in the second round. So I do think a receiver's coming. It'll be interesting to see how they weight that.
Is this a prime draft? Because from the way it looks, you know, right there in the middle of the first round, there's going to be a lot of jockeying a position and maybe even collecting assets like the Minnesota Vikings have already done with another first round pick. Is this a prime draft where Chris Ballard uses that first round pick as leverage based on his past precedent?
It very well could be, because, you know, you're going to have some interesting things that could happen there. Is a quarterback run going on? Is there a team that feels like they need to get back up there and get the last one, whether that's J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix or whatever they have in their mind? You know, you hear so many names that first round. That's what you're going to get the most value for, somebody coming up to get a quarterback. But what if every corner is on the board? And several mock drafts right now have every cornerback on the board when the Colts pick at 15. Yeah. You know, it's a good situation for the Colts. They could take that themselves. They could also, you know, auction that off to a really other cornerback needy team. Pass rusher could fall there, and it could be a situation where do you pick him or do you deal this pick? So I think they're in good position in that I think they're going to have a lot of options as far as players to choose from, and they're going to have probably a lot of options as far as dealing that pick and maybe adding more ammunition, you know, to get more players, obviously.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Is it typical? I mean, really, after the NCAA tournament, we're going to hit the draft hard, and it'll be like 2 weeks before the draft. Is that kind of typical? Because I know we've been all out of whack the last couple of years with quarterbacks always in the news.
Yeah, this is more of a normal draft cycle, which makes it feel quiet, like you said, because you're not talking every day about the top quarterbacks in the draft and what is Carolina going to do at one and how does that affect Houston and how does that affect the Colts and what will Arizona do at three. That was every day last year. And now,
right,
you know, there's a little bit of Brock Bowers angst, but that's not the same. You know, tight end's never going to get that same kind of attention. So, yeah, it'll come. And of course, before the NFL draft, we're going to have Caitlin Clark joining the Indiana Fever. That'll be a distraction for a while. It's going to be a really interesting spring, I think, here in central Indiana.
Yeah, no question about it. It's George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin with us. Joins us each and every week. George, thanks for a great conversation here. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
No problem, man. Anytime.
Yeah, that's a pretty good 20-minute little recap of everything going on in Indiana sports. Didn't exactly intend for it to be that way, but here we are. I mean, that was pretty awesome stuff there from George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin. Outstanding work there. Draft, NCAA tournament. I mean, what else could you really want at this point? So, all right, when we come back, we will talk a little basketball. It's coming your way to X Power. Talk them on CWMUN. Inside a Wednesday show, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Glad you're with us. As always, brought to you by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're on the program with us. We talked a little bit of college basketball a little bit earlier on, and I do have Houston winning the national championship. I think a combination of defense and guard play. Jamal Shedd's one of the best in the country. That's who I have. So the route to get there, I will tell you, I don't love my bracket. I don't. Isn't that a weird thing to say? You pick your own bracket, and yet I don't like anything about my bracket. It probably won't be very very good at the end of the day, but again, that's for others to laugh at, I guess. So let's just all have fun and have a good time. So the games get going, I believe, right after noon tomorrow, and so we'll see how all of that plays out. So Indiana Pacers in action tonight, and again, you might think it's not really NBA season yet, but it is. It very much is, because I think we talked about it yesterday. What, they have 13 games left, and the Pacers are a half game outside of the sixth position in the Eastern Conference. So a heck of a lot to play for, and here's your hope. Like, there's been a lot of doom and gloom about the Pacers, and they haven't been playing their best here over the last couple of weeks. Maybe that's a good thing to get out of your system before you get into the playoffs, because it is a long grind of the season where, you know, this season began in October. We're in April right now. So it's been a lot of ups and downs. There's been a lot of good. There's been a lot of not so good. Can you navigate and get to where you need to go? Pat Boylan from the Pacers Radio Network. It's been a couple of weeks since he's been on the program. He's going to join us on Friday. And I do have some questions again. Like, what can you all to? And Tyrese Halliburton certainly going through it. Today he was talking about all of the extracurricular stuff that is going on around him. You know, people betting on him on DraftKings, the fantasy basketball stuff and everything. And, you know, you may think, oh my gosh, here's another professional athlete that makes millions of dollars that is complaining about all the pressure on him. But you got to think, this rise to fame for Tyrese Halliburton has been pretty darn quick. And there's a lot of things that go along with it. You know, an all-star starter a the spotlight he had in the play-in tournament, going from just a really good player to a star. I mean, there's a lot of things on his shoulders, the contract. There's been a lot of things that have thrust him into the spotlight, and Tyrese Haliburton strikes me as a guy that's pretty darn authentic, that he kind of says what's on his mind, and there isn't really an agenda behind it, or there isn't really an ulterior motive behind it. And so I just find it interesting that he said these things, and maybe he needs to have these moments to kind of really get into the mix with all of it. So I'm very interested to see how it all plays out for the Indiana Pacers. But again, the Pacers in action tonight, and we'll talk to Pat Boylan coming up on Friday. Long conversation with George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin today. Thanks for joining us to him as always. We are not on tomorrow. Ball State women's basketball in this spot. We'll have a lot to recap from the games coming up on Friday's show at 4. Enjoy your week. We'll talk to you Friday.